Okay, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, the lesson I'm going to teach tonight, many of you could quote to me verbatim. You know it, but a lot of people that know it don't practice it. And so I wanted to go over it again, not only for you older people, but even more so for the newer Christians. Going to talk about family devotions and raising your children, that using that tool to raise your children for God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Turn to the 11th chapter. It says about the same thing. Starting with verse 18. Again, you read that, there's no doubt what it's saying to the priest, right? No, to the father. And I understand there's some of you women, your husband's not saved, and I understand there's circumstances like that. But again, it's talking to the father. And I believe with all my heart, I don't care what your buddies at church think of you. If you don't do this, men, if you let the devil get a hold of you, whether it's pornography or music or you have trouble in the home with your wife or whatever keeps you from doing this and your children grow up not to live for God, you're going to answer to him and you're going to get tore apart. You know, I was sitting, you know, and I always talk about it, excuse me, but I'm an old grandfather. I sit here and I look at the kids. Your pastor can destroy this church, but if he raises his kids up for God, he's a grand success. Now, understand that. I understand it more than he does because I've gone through it. I've watched my friends build big churches. And you know, by the way, most of them, the church caves in also because they lose respect. But the point is, there's nothing more important, nothing more important. That's why it's a rule or it's something that the Bible says, if a man can't take care of his own home, how can he take care of the church of God? It's as simple as that. Now again, when you've had this guy speaking to you for so many years, there's nothing new. You old timers know I said that 30 years ago. There's nothing new. When I come up with something new, there's something wrong. Okay? Again, why do people lose their family? There's only one reason: they don't believe or they don't love God, they don't love their family. I don't know what it is, but there's nothing more important. And we've got to get that. You know, again, nothing new. You're up here blabbing. There's nothing. Why haven't we reached America? It's not the bus ministry. It's families. It's raising kids. Excuse me for repeating myself, but it's something that's inside of me all the time. These churches of 5 and 10 and 20,000 people, what happened to them? What happened to the kids? The fathers didn't do their job. They might have been a bus captain. They might have been a pastor. They might have been a grand soul winner and won the soul winning contest. Okay, but if they didn't raise their children, they're a failure. failure. And not just raise them enough that you don't have to be ashamed, but raise them enough that they're going to produce something. They're going to do something for God. So this idea of raising children, we talk about discipline. We talk about all the other things, loving them, of course. But more than anything else, it's teaching them. Teaching them. I can't remember who was saying this, but a pastor, you know, you can spank, but if you don't teach them, you're going to make a rebel. And I'm afraid that's what happens often. You're spanking. You're going to do us right. Bless God. But if you haven't taught them, you're going to make a rebel. Now you teach them, and then you bless God. It'll work. So again, starting with verse 18, therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets before your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. That means it's important. You're doing it all the time. Again, I have nothing new at this stage of my life. But when you go to the store, I, as a pastor, when I went to the hospital on hospital visitation, when I was going to be in the car for a period of time, when we got to the place where we could get ice cream, we'd get ice cream. But the main thing was to talk to my children and mold them. But today we're talking about family devotions. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that thy days may be multiplied and in the days of thy children in the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Now we know this. I'm sure many of us have it in our house. I always did it. I think it was the first biblical type verse I had in my home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But you can't just say it. It's got to be a passion. And you've got to have a plan. Not just, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I believe it. You got to believe it enough to make a plan and practice the plan. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the church that you've given us, our church family. And I just pray that as I speak on this simple subject, that you might get a hold of somebody's heart, that somebody will get a hold of the importance of having family devotions. In your name we pray. Amen. It amazes me when I used to counsel families with problems and they'd come in. I don't think I ever failed asking this question, do you have family devotions? And the vast majority, I couldn't tell you exactly, but the vast majority that were having serious problems did not have family devotions. And I just think it's so important. In Matthew 18:19, it says, again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Is that a promise of God? Two, one man, one woman, that's all it takes. That's all, nobody else. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done of you. Okay? Now, again, what it's saying is you two agree, you want to raise your children for God, and you pray, God's going to hear, he's going to answer your prayers, you're going to follow through, he'll deal with your heart. Next verse, in verse 20, it says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, again, people think of it as a church. Two or three are gathered, and amen, it counts for a church. But at the same time, it also counts as for a family. If you're gathered in His name, He's gonna bless you. Okay, He's gonna answer your prayers. And so I guess the point that I'm making is, you shouldn't just have children. You should have children for only one reason, and that is to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the only reason. And if you're not going to do it, you shouldn't bring them into the world. And it's really sad. People have child. I'm going to reproduce myself, and I'm going to win the world by me having children, and we're going to have children. Boom, 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 and they live for the devil, and they hurt the cause of God. What is in your head? Well, you say, I don't know what went wrong. Sorry, I love you, Dad, but you went wrong. You went wrong. Either that or the Bible isn't true. Now, fathers are commanded to be diligent, teach their children the Word of God. They're commanded to bring their children up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Is that not the Bible? Isn't that what we're told? Okay, we're to teach them the Word of God. We're going to teach them to pray. We're going to teach them to live holy lives. We're going to teach them to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And it cannot happen if it's not taught in the home. It will not happen. I'm not saying a person can't get saved like Tony got saved out of a bus home. I'm not saying that, but I'm talking about raising children for God. It will not happen if you don't do it in the home. It is not the Christian school's job. It is not the youth pastor's job. They are only to augment what you do. That's all it is. You know, when people think, you get us in our youth group and they're going to live for God. Not if it doesn't work at home. Again, common sense. We've got a good-sized church. Some grow up to live for God. And some grow up and live for the devil. Why? It's the same youth group. It's the same school. It's the same teachers. It's the same everything. But a different home. That's it. Now, we know, and I don't want to get off on this, we know that when they go bad, the typical is it's the pastor's fault, it's the youth pastor's fault, it's the school's fault. No, it's the dad's fault. What we try to do, we know we're not perfect. And praise God, we know our teachers aren't perfect. Now Pastor Dameron can pull his hair out over them. Okay, we know they're not perfect, but they are doing everything they can to help you raise your children. So don't blame them. Noah preached for 120 years. I've often thought, if I, not somebody else, if I again would all of a sudden get young and start this church over again, would it be hard? Wow. I wonder what would happen. Times have changed. I'm not saying God can't do great things today, Daniel, wherever you are. I'm not saying you can't start a church today, but I'm saying it's a lot harder in America in particular. Noah preached for 100, can you imagine that? 120 years, and nobody was saved except his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And I say again, Noah was a great success. You say he didn't see anybody else saved. That means the world was so wicked. And you read it, it was. It was so wicked he couldn't get anybody else saved, but he got his kids saved. And their mates. And the Bible says in Genesis 7:1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So there's the one little family in this big ark. And you think they didn't praise God as the rain started coming down? As things got really scary, you think they didn't pray? You understand what I'm saying? I think they got close to God, and we know that after it was all done, he built an altar, didn't he? Now, what we call family devotions used to be called family altar, and that was the idea, that he built the altar, and he praised God, him and his family. And again, so we say, that was horrible. His world was horrible. Yes. And our world is horrible. We say, our president is crazy. He's wicked. And who elected him? The people of America elected him. Okay? Our world is crazy. It's wicked. And we all know this, and some of you know it more than I do. But the world is out to get your kids. And to you know, okay, take Pastor Dameron again and his children. All he has to do is let up. And they don't think so. But all he has to do is let up, and those kids can go to the devil. I'm not saying not be saved. I'm saying can be destroyed by the devil. And everybody ought to realize that. The world is wicked. We could name television, and we could name the internet, and we could name all this kind of stuff. But how could it be worse? It's out there. You know, you say, what happened to this church member's son? The world got him. Okay? And then the world got her, and then him and her. That's what happened. And I'm saying the world, the devil, is smarter than you are. And he seeks who he can devour. He's combing the earth. And you think he doesn't want this church? And he wants your kids. So everybody can say, Fairhaven, their kids all go to the devil. No, they don't. Everybody wants to say that. No, they don't. You travel with me as I travel, and you see our kids all over this nation serving God. Somebody was saying, I can't remember now, it was you, somebody quoted, I think, Eric, that it's a blessing. Every place you go, the strongest person there is a Fairhaven. The person that's running the buses, the person that's doing the work is a Fairhaven Baptist Church person, okay? And so, no, it works. But you have to work it. You have to work it. And so, again, you have to understand the world is wicked. But you say, I can't do it today. Noah did it. Okay, Lot, what happened to him? He turned his face toward the world. And he was destroyed. His family was destroyed. Joshua, the great general who led the armies of Israel into the land of Canaan after the death of Moses. He had the worship of God in his home. And again, that famous verse, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. He's saying to Israel, and it could be said right now, same thing. You choose. You choose. Some are going to choose to do it, and some don't. Okay, I know Tony real well. And I know He gets scared to death. Right, Tony? Preacher, pray for me. I don't joke. I don't mean joking. He's scared to death. And that's good. I don't want to lose my sons. I don't want to lose them. Pray for me. It's important. He could lose them. That's what he thinks. He could lose them, and he could lose them. So can you. But the problem is, that too many of us think we couldn't. No, not me. Man, I'm a good Christian. I belong to Fairhaven Baptist Church, and my kids are in Fairhaven Baptist Academy, not me. Oh, yes. And through the years, I've talked to people. And I don't know, I hope Pastor Dameron's a little more persistent than me. I've always been, I talk, you reject, I go away. And then watch in sadness. The difference is daddy. If it seems evil to you, again, I could say that right now. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the determination that you dads ought to have. We will serve the Lord. You're a little soft, then you harden yourself up. You see? And most of you are a little soft, a little too nice. You stiffen yourself up. Now, not only would Joshua serve the Lord, not only would he pray and learn the commandments of God, but his whole household would. That's what he said. As for me and my house. Now, devotions. I would guess most of you pray before you eat. I would guess, I wouldn't think there's anybody here who doesn't pray before they eat. And some of you may pray before you go to bed. But there's more needed. There's family devotions. And simply, you worship God together. You worship God as a family. And Father works odd hours, you work the hours out. Boy, I've talked to people. Guys, pray for me. You better have devotions. You, male, short hair, pants, you, not mama. And don't tell me you can't. You do. You do. Now, again, you work odd hours, and family works different hours. You work it out. All the family should take part. When my kids, Debbie, of course, is the youngest, I can remember sitting at the table with Debbie in the high chair. You say she didn't get anything out of it. She was there. And again, everybody should take part. And again, it should include the reading of the Bible. The Bible, when they're young, we sell them. I say things like this, and then I look for them, and they're not in the bookstore. But there's good Bible story books that would be recommended in the bookstore. That's what the bookstore's for, okay? It's a Bible bookstore, not a picture store. I mean, I love the pictures, but it's a Bible bookstore. You go in there, and we've got Bible story books, and that's what you want. If the kid isn't old enough to know what's going on, you use a storybook. God will smile upon that. And as they get older, then a chapter of the Bible or something like that. You have prayer requests, and again, you discuss important lessons. You talk about answered prayer. I always like the idea of talking about the lesson, okay? You had a sermon or whatever, you know, Thursday night. Talk about that and explain it. It doesn't have to be long. In fact, it should not be long. And I say that, and God smites me. I had some that were an hour and a half long. But that was a problem in the family. Then it has to be long. But normally it shouldn't be long. And it shouldn't be a theology lesson, guys. It's not. You're not teaching them theology. You're teaching them life. You're teaching them how to live for God. So the Bible, prayer, and the prayer should not be flamboyant. You listening to me? It should be junior church, if you follow what I mean, as opposed to the worship service. You should be taught to call out to God for what they need. And again, not to show off. not to show off. You teach them. This is what you teach them, the Bible. You teach them how to pray. And it should be early in the day. Listen to me. You don't have to prepare to go to sleep. You follow what I mean? Devotion should be a time where you prepare for the day. And you prepare your family for the day. Again, Proverbs 8:17 reads, "Those that seek me early shall find me." And we read Jesus in the morning raising up a great while before the day, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Now, I used to read all these guys. I mean, I'm and you should. And you'd read these old-timers, would get up at 4:30 in the morning. And I thought that made you spiritual. No, they went to bed at 8. Okay? Really, they did. Because the sun went down and they wanted the daylight hours. So you don't have to get up at 4:30 in the morning to pray, unless you have something really special to pray about, don't get me wrong. But just in the morning, you get up in the morning. I'll just say myself, I can't pray once I get going. I shouldn't say I can't just pray, God be with so-and-so. I don't mean that. But as far as praying at any prolonged period, I can't, because my mind gets going on everything else. Now, I'm not saying you're like me, but I think you're similar to that. You need to do it in the morning. And again, mealtime is probably best. In 1 Timothy 4, it says, "Every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Every meal should be prayed over. And I think the best time, probably, this isn't scriptural, but the best time for a family to get together is breakfast. And my kids, they had their own alarm clock. I never would go in and say, "Please get up." If I went on and they weren't up, they'd get a bucket of water. That's another lesson. But their alarm went off, and they got up. It's their responsibility. "Well, I can't get up." You were trained not to get up. Their alarm goes off. They get up. In our household, we then had our own personal devotions. And then you see how Dr. Vogelin and I are muscle-bound. We would go down into the weight room and lift those heavy weights and work out. And the girls would, whatever, I can't even remember what we had, I guess cereal, get the cereal and the bread ready for the toast and that type of thing, and we'd have our devotions. Now, if you're going to have a fancy breakfast, like eggs and bacon and all that, then maybe you want to have it afterward. But people shouldn't be cooking during devotions. Now, again, I would read the Bible. I'm just saying what we did. I would read the Bible, and the kids would take turns praying, and we'd pray for the missionaries, and we'd pray for the staff, and we'd pray for the sick, and we'd pray for the graduates, and this type of a thing. And it was just simple. Now, I guess that's the thing I want to get across to you guys that think you can't do it, and you say you got a degree in Bible. That has nothing to do with it. My guess is that half of the people that graduate from Bible college don't have family devotions with their family. It has nothing to do with it. You can read the Bible probably better than I can, okay? You say, "Why did you read the Bible?" "Because I can't, and it was good practice for me." Honestly, I still read. I'm the one that reads the Bible. Sharon shows me my bad words and the phonics and all that kind of stuff. But you don't have to be smart, and you don't have to be Bible. You just read the Bible, okay? Now, again, you say, "Well, some of the Bible I don't understand." Join the club of not understanding part of the Bible. There's not one person here that understands all the Bible. But as I've said so many times, you understand what you need to understand. is plenty. It's simple. It's simple. You notice we don't preach on Revelation too much and future things and future times. These guys are idiots that do that. They don't know any more than you do about it. So that's why they do it, and you say, wow, is he smart? They don't talk about that stuff and all the deep things. You leave that for your Ashrak. He's deep. College students and this type of thing. Honestly, college students get thinking they are so smart. And they don't know what they're talking about. It's the simple things that you want, okay? And you get into the New Testament, or you get into the stories with the kids when they're little kids, the stories of the Old Testament. They get to be teenagers, then I liked Proverbs. I always liked Proverbs for young people. And you just discuss it. You read Proverbs, little pithy two-liners. What does it mean? That's it. Okay? Why do we need it? How can you apply it to your life? Just simple. Just simple. And if you want to do it, you can do it. You see? But if you're not right with God, you don't want to do it. And that's why your kids are going to the devil. You don't love them. Oh, I love them. You don't. You don't love them. Oh, yes, no, you don't. You don't love them enough to do it. So, there's problems. Don't think you're going to have family devotions without the devil fighting you. He's going to do everything he can to break it up. And again, the man has to lead and make sure it happens. He's got to lead the family. Now, I'm going to make a couple statements that I don't want you to exaggerate and go overboard, but it's more important than your job. And it's more important than the kids' school. Becky was smiling when I said an hour and a half, and we did have hour and a half devotions. If there was a problem in the family, school teacher could leap. They didn't like it. Of course, I was the boss, but I don't care if I was the boss or I was nobody. If I had a problem in the family, we're going to take care of the problem with the family in devotions. Get it? That's your attitude ought to be. Now, I understand my time was freer than you if you're a truck driver or something like that. But the point that I'm making is that it's more important than anything that you take care of your family, that you raise them up. And I prefaced it, don't go crazy with this. I'm not saying that my kids missed the start of school often or very often at all, but if it had to be, it had to be. We had a session, okay, and we really taught. So, again, I guess the only other thing I'd have is that if the man, like I, would be traveling, you know, and you're gone. I see Carl, he used to travel a lot, and you have to be out of the home, then the wife should have it, you know, those times. But the man should lead if he's in town. Okay? Not much more important than that in raising your family. Teaching, training. Again, sometime we would, what's it called, act it out. Practical. What does it mean? How do you live it? What do you do? Okay. And so when they left, they got something in their head, and they're saying, oh, yeah, I see that. That's what you're looking for, not theology. So don't worry about theology, guys. Don't worry about deepness. Worry about training your kids. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it works. And I pray, as I did at the beginning, that you'd, Holy Spirit, deal with somebody. If one father would determine and follow through to have devotions, it would be worth the lesson tonight. And I pray that that'll happen. In your name we pray. Amen.
I